Okay. So, I suppose we should have a basic definition of mindfulness, what mindfulness is. I'll be speaking mostly from the Buddhist perspective, but this is mindfulness itself, and the meditative techniques that we'll be going over are not religion. They come from Buddhism and Eastern thought, Buddhism having come from Hinduism primarily. You know, it gets about 85% of its material from the Vedas, from the Hindu tradition. And then Buddha refined that and took it to some different places. And so these techniques come from those wisdom traditions. But this is not religious and is not intended to be religious. This is intended to be a workshop on how to work with your mind. And mind being defined as thoughts, emotions, judgments, opinions, beliefs, memories, fantasies, wishes, impulses, compulsions. All of these things are mental phenomena. All of these things belong to the domain of the mind. And in the East, they got quite good at looking inside, introspecting. And at the same period of time, you know, you had Aristotle in Greece, who was primarily looking outside of himself and was primarily very interested in understanding nature and understanding physical phenomena. He also had a lot of thoughts about what goes on inside a human being, but not quite as much as the Buddha, who was existing right about that same time, or Confucius, or Lao Tzu, or some of the other, James, some of the other Eastern yogis, who were primarily concerned with what's going on inside of you, what's going on inside your mind, and what can we discover if we develop a methodology, a mode of inquiry about what's happening with consciousness and mind. And in Greece, of course, they were interested in what was happening in nature, what was happening outside of us. And that's taken us a long way, you know, Aristotle being the father of science, and his teacher Plato and Socrates before him, the fathers of Western philosophy and so on. That's done very well for us, but in the 21st century as Americans, some of us are noticing that we seem to lack an internal wisdom. We seem to lack a connection to our own minds, to our thoughts, to our feelings, our judgments, our opinions. We seem to suffer quite a bit. And mindfulness, the way I see it, is offered to us as a I'm also a doctor of clinical psychology. As a psychologist, I view mindfulness as an offering from the East to the West. Not a religious offering, but an offering that is actually profoundly practical. One that can really help us learn how to slow down, how to become still, how to stay with our own minds. So when I was listening to all of you, I heard things like stress, anxiety, insomnia, grief, loss, confusion, a desire to be still, a desire to center. Right? I heard this come up over and over and over again. I hear that all the time from people I talk to. Right? I hear it so much it starts to you start to be able to form patterns in what might be going on inside of people, you know, generally speaking. And we're all suffering on some level from stress, anxiety, some kind of loss, some kind of grief. And we'll go over the universal sufferings in a bit. And we don't know what to do about it. You know? We really don't know what to do about it. We go to psychiatrists and our medical doctors, and maybe they'll give us pills. We go to church and pray. Maybe we get very invested in spiritual practices. Sometimes those help. significantly. Sometimes they fall short for some reason. And my contention about religion is that if you claim a particular religion and you're a practitioner of that religion, one of the world religions, something that's 1,000 or 2,000 years old or older, you know, and you're a practitioner of that religion and you're really unhappy, it's probably not the fault of the religion. Because that religion's been around for a long time. If it didn't produce happiness, we would have fleshed that out a long time ago as humans and just kind of done away with it. Right? If you're a practitioner of Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism, Jainism, Judaism, Islam, you know, one of the world's religions, and you're not experiencing happiness and centeredness and peacefulness, it's probably because you're not practicing the religion correctly. It's probably not the fault of the religion. Right? That's my basic contention. And so getting back, I love to go off on tangents. So what is mindfulness? So mindfulness is our ability to notice the fact that we think and feel and judge and have opinions and have memories and fantasies and impulses. It is our ability to become unidentified with our thoughts and feelings and emotions and judgments and opinions. For example, in our language we say, if I'm angry, let's say, I am angry. So this is quite literal. I am anger. I am this thing, right? I have identified with it. So here's anger and here's me. We're like this, right? Okay, mindfulness is like this. I am experiencing anger. It's a little bit of space. Gives you a little bit of space in between you and what you're feeling and what you're thinking and what you're remembering, right? And we all know how thoughts can create emotions, and that emotion can create a thought, and it creates another emotion, which creates another thought, which creates a memory about another time where you might have been thinking that, right? Or something in the environment around us, right? We'll smell something, and we'll remember something that happened 30 years ago. And that'll create a whole string of memories, which might create us feeling regret or shame about something we did, right? The mind is constantly flowing and churning. Never still, never stable. Always producing, right? Always dynamic and flowing, moving forward. Never.
Are you saying that mindfulness is the awareness of all those things? The thoughts?
Mindfulness is, have you ever noticed yourself really afraid, really experiencing fear, but noticed that your awareness of the fear was not afraid? Does that question make sense? Yeah. So like, I'm really experiencing fear. I've got a lot of fear going on right now. But the fact that, like, I'm aware, I'm noticing the fear, this isn't afraid. Right? It's just awake. It's noticing. Right? That's mindfulness. This is like all caught up in and identified with.
So you're talking about being an observer.
Yes. You become an observer of your own mind. Yes. That's a fair way to describe mindfulness. And so this has nothing to do with religion. I believe that Christ was incredibly mindful. I believe that Muhammad was mindful. I believe that any holy man or woman, people that we admire, people that we give Nobel Peace Prizes to, people that we go and hear lecture and we read their books and things like that, people that we want to be like spiritually, these people are on some level fundamentally mindful, right? They don't get all caught up in everything that they think and feel and believe and all of their judgments and opinions and all these transitory things that come and go and shift and ebb and flow in and out of their minds all the time. They don't get all attached to and identified with and grabbing onto all of this stuff. They experience it, but they have a much healthier relationship to them with their minds than I do. A much healthier relationship. And this makes them very skillful, right? I think of Christ overturning the tables of the moneylenders in the temple. I don't think Christ lost control. I wouldn't believe that for a second. I believe it's quite skillful what he did. It was the most skillful and most compassionate thing to do, given the circumstances and the situation. I don't think Christ was lost in anger. Don't think that's possible. And there are other stories like that of every holy man of every religion. Right? They become quite skillful. It makes you quite skillful. Here's an example. Skillfulness of mindfulness. There was an American who went to Japan and he was studying Aikido. Everyone know what Aikido is? It's a Japanese martial art. And the idea of the martial art is that you can defend yourself and do no harm to your opponent, right? Or as little harm as possible. It's a very compassionate martial art. It's an interesting martial art. And so he went to Japan, where this martial art was founded and studied. And he studied for years. He was there for a long time. And his master wouldn't authorize him to teach and to use it. You have to be authorized to use it. You know, the Japanese are very formal about everything. So, like, you can't teach it or use it until you've been authorized to do that. He'd been there for years studying this, and his master wouldn't authorize him. He said he didn't understand enough about compassion and patience, so he wouldn't authorize him. Well, this just pissed him off, right? Which is ironic, because that's kind of what the master was talking about. And one day, he was on the train, right? He was on the subway, and this drunken guy comes in, drunken homeless guy, comes into the subway. And he's very upset and belligerent, hostile, and he's harassing people. And the American looks at him and thinks, well, this is a great opportunity. This is like I can now compassionately execute the art. I have no choice. Like, the guy's harassing people, and there's just no other way to stop. He's homeless, he's drunk, he's deranged, whatever, right? Told himself this whole story about what this guy was. And I'm going to go over, and I'm going to deal with this guy. I'm going to use the martial art that I've been instructed in. And maybe then, you know, the master will say, you're now authorized to do it. And maybe this is some kind of test, I don't know. This is going through the American's head. Across the car is a little old Japanese guy. Just, you know, another passenger on the car. He calls over to the homeless man, homeless drunk man. He says, hey, you, come here. Come here for a minute. You sit down by me. Come here and sit down by me. Come on, come on, come on, come on. So the homeless guy's kind of taken off guard, but, you know, he goes over there and sits down, right? And this old man puts his arm around him, right? And he says, oh, I think you've had a little bit to drink today, you know. Yeah, I have some sake too sometimes, you know. And sometimes I get sad. I lost my wife a couple of years ago, he said. And it's been very difficult for me. You know, I miss her. And the drunk homeless guy starts to break down. He starts to cry. He goes, yeah, my wife left me. She took my children. I know how you feel. She's gone. I don't know where she is. Right? All of a sudden, just like that, the whole situation has shifted. Right? That's skill. It takes tremendous skill to be able to do something like that. Right? And usually as Americans, I love the fact that the guy was an American. That's a true story, by the way. I love the fact the guy was an American. Because his immediate thing was like, let's, you know, I got to go show this guy what's going on. I'm going to go kick his ass. And then this little old Japanese guy had a much more skillful solution. Much more skillful. So mindfulness is like that. It allows us to see this kind of panorama of what's going on in our minds, right? And we spend not too much energy getting all caught up in any one of these phenomena. So we don't get all caught up in anger and depression and disappointment and grief and loss and bliss and happiness and satisfaction and dissatisfaction. We don't spend so much of our energy like moving around from one grasping to another, you know, and getting pulled off. You know, it's like being on a roller coaster, right? So we take a step off the roller coaster and we just watch, right? This allows us to not only watch our own minds, it creates just the very act of taking that step back is healing somehow, and it creates clarity, awareness, clarity, insight, and balance. Just that. Just learning to do that. For some reason, creates a certain level of awareness, clarity, insight, and balance, which then allows us to have more sensitivity to what's going on around us than other people. It allows us to be a little bit more sensitive to what's happening in her and her and her and him. It just becomes a little clearer. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's a useful skill. And it does not belong to any particular religion. I want to emphasize that clearly. Because some people in here, I'm sure, are not religious. They don't practice any particular religion. Some are Christian. Maybe a couple are Buddhist. Maybe some are atheists. Right? Maybe there's a Jew or two. I don't know. But it really doesn't matter. This is a mental skill. It's a mental skill that you can learn. One that's very useful, very valuable. Right? Okay, so it's useful to have a little context for mindfulness. So in this initial session, I think that we'll spend more time going over some of the background of mindfulness, some of Buddhist psychology. I think it's useful to understand how the Buddha saw the world, how he understood human experience, if you are to truly grasp and deeply grasp his techniques and his methods for coping with it. Right? I think it's useful to understand how he got to this point, how he got to these conclusions. Right? And so some of this is Buddhist psychology, some of it is existential and contemplative psychology, which is basically Eastern thought, Buddhist insight, plus science. Right? So we now have come to the point where we have a lot of scientific input and a lot of scientific additions to some of Buddhist psychology's original insights. So this is a synthesis of both. And I think it's useful to present it before we actually present meditative techniques. It helps to give things a context. All right. Any questions before we get going? Yeah.
Not a question, but don't you think you can develop mindfulness in other ways besides meditation?
Sure.
Being the observer and stepping back and not getting sucked into the drama.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I think you can become a really good chef, a really good cook, just by watching your grandma. But you'd probably get even better if you went to the Sorbonne. You know what I mean? So yeah, you can learn naturally, just kind of from your environment. But you can also go and study with people who have really made an art of it and who have a methodology and who are quite serious about it and who have like taken it to the next level. You can also do that. Yeah. Or you can do both. Be even better. Yeah.